Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast by OVB Online about the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany Ralf Denk, the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, Germany's largest and most successful cycling team, through the France Tour. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobiasruf@ovbmedia.de.
And now, enjoy the new episode.
Wout van Aert pulls on the Champs-Élysées. Tadej Pogacar is the overall winner of the Tour de France for the fourth time, and Florian Lipowitz stands on the podium as the best young rider. Let's look back at a memorable Tour de France for the last time. Hello and best regards to France to Ralf Denk, the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe.
Hello and warm greetings from the journey home from the Tour de France to Rosenheim.
Exactly, Ralf. You said I can reach you at the airport.
That's right. Now it's back home.
Yes.
After almost 4 weeks.
Yes. Is the team there? Are the riders there? How does that work?
Yes, that actually goes quickly there. They all travel in different directions because we don't have a central location now. They all don't live with us. Not like the footballers who play for Bayern, all in Munich, but they fly to their home destinations, most live in Monaco,
Andorra, San Marino, Southern France. So that's the direction the athletes are heading again.
And for you, it's back to Robling. Yes, Ralf, let's go inside. Let's answer a question first. So Florian Lipowitz can do the Tour de France on the road. Can Florian Lipowitz also do the Tour de France at the closing ceremony?
He was taller than me. That's already a good sign. I don't know how much longer he was, but that's part of it. We are producing content with him in Paris today. That's already happening. So he's not in bed anymore. That's also important for all our partners. And that's why I think he won't be awake much longer. Okay.
How was the overall mood? Yeah, give us a little insight. Where exactly did you celebrate? You had already told us that the partners primarily took care of it. Where were you? How can I imagine it?
Yes, it is such that when the racers cross the finish line, they actually drive into the partner box where the guests from Red Bull, from Bora, from Hansgrohe, from Grenke, from Boss, from Specialized are. That was about 200 people. And then you toast there really with champagne on the Champs-Élysées. Afterwards, it goes to the bus. The racers then shower in the bus. They were standing at the top of the Arc de Triomphe. Red Bull even provided a DJK. So there was a little party. We had pizza at our bus and the families of the racers and staff were there. And later, we went to another reception on a boat from our partners. It was docked on the Seine, and that's how we ended the evening and the night.
The mood was naturally good because
we are in competitive sports, and even all the investments from the partners, they also want to see success. And when you deliver your success, the mood is always exuberant. But we have experienced it differently. Last year, when the Tour de France ended in Nice, where we didn't achieve any of our goals, the mood was, of course, I'll say it a bit differently than yesterday.
We'll do a review of the past 3 weeks in a moment. Now let's review what we saw yesterday. This changed route in Paris-Montmartre, incorporated in reference to the Olympic Games last year. There was a certain skepticism beforehand among us journalists, among you protagonists.
How do you evaluate it now in retrospect? You also said, let's take a look at it first and then I'll give a real assessment. So what is your assessment today, the day after?
Yes, so the big winner, Wout van Aert, in a very spectacular way, how he left Tadej Pogacar behind, then rode the last 6 or 7 kilometers to the finish alone. That was really top class. But for the monofahrer, the time was already stopped 50 kilometers before the finish. On one hand, it's about safety, but on the other hand, that only a few riders fought for the stage win. We wanted to intervene with Jordi Moyes, but he had a flat tire at a very inconvenient moment yesterday. We then changed the bike during the race on the road. As a result, he missed the connection, which was unfortunate. Yes, all in all, a very fragmented race. Many groups. It was definitely only about the stage win. It was achieved in a spectacular way, but I missed the closed field to some extent. I'm more of a traditionalist and would wish for a classic sprint stage on the Champs-Élysées. I like that better.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the images that were generated were really good. At least I thought so.
Really great. Montmartre was also packed with people, so everything was really cool. But also the mood in our team, they found it a bit of a shame that the celebration after 3 weeks of cycling, there was no champagne. You know, normally the racers drink champagne on the bike. That didn't happen yesterday. Normally every team gets a bottle of champagne from the winning team's support vehicles during the race. It's usually opened in the team car during the race. This tradition was broken with the route change as there was still a bike race going on.
What are you hearing from the Tour de France environment? Are they going back to the old model? Is this the new model? Have you picked up on anything?
Well, I don't know how it looks from the outside. I just briefly spoke with our racers yesterday. They would probably prefer the classic final stage again.
Exactly. And you have very limited influence on everything else. You have explained that to us well over the past weeks and years. So let's dive in and look back at the past 3 weeks of the Tour de France. Let's do an overall summary. Will you like the Tour 2025? It was a bit of its own concept. Not just the finish in Paris, but also that we went into the high mountains very late. The sprinters had comparatively few chances in retrospect. What is your conclusion? A good route design?
Should we go into the mountains earlier again? What are your thoughts?
Yes, it was of course criticized that the first real mountain stage was only on stage 10, 11, 12. The Pyrenees only in the second week, that was criticized to some extent. All in all, I think the route was okay. We had exciting days in Normandy, exciting days in Brittany. From what the racers reported, it was an incredibly tough tour. The winner confirmed that again yesterday, Pogacar confirmed it, that every stage was really raced with a knife between the teeth. And he also skipped the Vuelta now, right? It was originally planned. He was still going to ride the Vuelta. Tadej Pogacar, he also canceled that yesterday. And it was his hardest Tour de France. And when that comes from the winner, I think that speaks volumes. Why is that? The Tour de France is growing and growing and growing. We have more viewer ratings. We have more rich. Netflix has helped with that and so on. The entire sport is growing. Large sponsors are not just sponsors, but also co-owners of the teams, or like Red Bull with us, like Lidl has taken over the team. This is also an indicator that the fundamental data of our sport is really growing, especially with the Tour de France in focus, but it also creates more pressure. And that's why the races were so hard and so fast and at record speed.
This ultimately leads to the fact that this tour, as you say, was so incredibly tough. Now, Florian Lipovic is coming to a Tour de France for the very first time. You say it, the riders say it, Tadej Pogacar, he's not just any overall winner. He was also the dominator of this Tour de France, who says, wow, those were really three brutal weeks. Now the debutant comes along and stands at the end on the podium. Did he positively surprise you with his development over these 3 weeks, culminating with the white jersey at the award ceremony in front of the Arc de Triomphe?
Mega, because we said, and it wasn't something we made up, that the Etape de la Dauphiné 3 weeks before the Tour de France is his season highlight. Then he extended it and basically maintained his form until Paris. That is outstanding and really shows his class. And so he really impressed me. And also yesterday, how he managed the whole interview marathon, and it was already late at night and he was still jumping around in cycling gear because of press conferences and mixed zones and everything that was on the agenda, plus the award ceremony. And he managed all that with flying colors. So great respect from my side.
You say he has also grown off the track, because that is part of it too?
Definitely. And we talked in one of the episodes about what the procedure is due for the jersey wearers, for the winners. You already cut an hour of recovery from them, because by the time the award ceremony is over, the doping controls are done and the mixed zone is behind them. An hour quickly passes and that time is lost for recovery. And when you add it up over the Tour de France, if you have to endure it every day, that's 20 hours. So one day that's missing. That's really enormous. So the protagonists, which includes Florian, have to manage that on top as well.
Ralph, you have experienced a lot in cycling, also at the Tour de France. What went through your mind yesterday when you saw him standing there on the winner's podium?
For me, in the team's history, it's already another milestone.
We have won the Giro d'Italia. We have won the Vuelta a España. We have won Paris-Roubaix. We have become world champions. So we have already achieved a lot in the team's history, but we have never been on the podium in Paris. So that was the next milestone. We have also won many stages at the Tour de France, more than 10, but never on the podium in Paris. The special thing, we achieved this with our own racer. For me, an own racer is someone who signed their first professional contract with us, and that applies to Florian Lipowitz. And that is, of course, something special compared to just putting a lot of money on the table and buying some superstar who then almost has to perform. So the development of an amateur cyclist, Florian Lipowitz, up to the podium in Paris at the Tour de France through our team spirit and effort is really super cool.
Yes, are you aware of what you have triggered? So Germany is talking about Florian Lipowitz. He is omnipresent in the media coverage. Even Chancellor Merz congratulated on X and speaks of a sensational success. That is, of course, extraordinary. Are you aware that he is aware?
So I am somewhat aware of it, but I haven't been in Germany for a long time. He is definitely not aware of it because he has been focused on the race here. And our PR people around him have, of course, tried to shield him as best as possible so that only the necessary or important things are done here. And I would say my team did well, but Florian did well too. But I would be happy if it's somewhat sustainable, if it's not just the hype of Tour de France and Lipowitz, but if we benefit, if we get kids on bikes, if our sport grows in Germany, if it's easier to get permits for bike races again. If all of this contributes, then I would be really happy, and not just some Lipowitz hype that disappears again in 3 weeks.
Does he now receive special coaching, something in that direction? How do you handle him now? Because the starting situation is different for him now.
Yes, and at that point, for example, I am very glad to have Red Bull by my side. They are media professionals. They know exactly how to handle this. I think that we find the right balance there. Of course, making Florian relatively big as a brand, but also protecting it on the other side, and always with the premise, performance first.
Performance first, and in the end, he is not a marketing expert. He is a professional cyclist. How will things continue for him? What is planned for the season? Which races are coming up, or is there no concrete plan yet?
Well, he will run a lean final program. He has already raced quite a lot with great successes. Podiums in Paris-Nice, fourth in the Basque country, third in criteriums like Dauphiné. And he will only do a few one-day races, maybe those in Canada. He will then race the Italian Autumn Classics, and then we will let the season wind down with him. There must US.
Where the US is not a topic at all.
No, not an issue at all. Great.
we are not talking about Florian anymore. Let's also take a look at the rest of the team. Is there overall satisfaction? Over the last 3 weeks, I've received many questions, and often the question was that not enough mountain helpers were brought along. What's your conclusion regarding the team outside of Florian?
You can see it that way on the mountain stages, definitely. But we were aware that the picture wouldn't be better than it was. We knew that Flaso is a loyal helper, but that he wouldn't arrive in top form. We knew that. And we specifically aimed to reach the first mountain without any crashes. So 12 days without crashes. And we achieved that with flying colors. Neither Primus nor Florian crashed. And there were many risks. And if you saw, many others crashed and dropped out. And that's exactly what we wanted to avoid. That's why we chose our strategy very conservatively. I would say from that aspect, it was the right decision. Yes, a bit more mountain support would have been desirable. But as I said, our team currently doesn't offer much more.
I think we will now perhaps bring in a bit more quality, sir.
That doesn't happen overnight. But all in all, I would say that our entire team performed. I would also say everyone would have reached Paris except for Danny van Poppel, who left the Tour de France because his wife had a child during the Tour de France. Everyone was in Paris. And from that perspective, I believe the success proves us right.
Yes, I stumbled a bit at one point. Primoz Roglic was chosen as the captain, and it was said that they wanted to get Primoz on the podium. Now he is in eighth place at the end. He finished, didn't crash. It's certainly not a bad tour. He made it into the top 10. The goal was still the podium. So what is the conclusion specifically for him?
Yes, he then realized that he is not the third best. He then, in consultation with our team, tried desperately to win a stage. Unfortunately, he did not succeed. I really wished it for him. But all in all, he was in good form, you know. That should be acknowledged. So he was good, but there were, sometimes better ones. Ah.
How will things continue for him? He is 35 years old, and media reports suggest that the contract is expiring. Can you say anything about his future with Red Bull Borans?
So we are currently planning with him, and it's also not true that the contract is expiring.
Okay.
Of course, we will now talk to him after the Tour de France about what his goals are, what still triggers him. He has won almost everything except the Tour de France and the Tour de Suisse. And then we will come up with a plan.
So it is stated in many portals that the contract, you always say the details don't come out. The contract ends in 2025. That's not true, I gather from that.
Primo has a contract with us.
Okay. We're not getting anything out of you. All right, good. Then credit where credit is due. Let's take a look at Primož Roglič's compatriot, also briefly, at Tadej Pogacar. Everyone said he could only beat himself. He didn't beat himself. He won this Tour de France and is beyond all doubt. Do you see it that way too?
Yes, with two small buts. A very small one, right? Like once where he crashes, you could quickly see how fast it can be over because the crash was at 60 kilometers per hour. He crashes, falls like a cat, gets up, continues riding, but just a few centimeters away was the curb. If he had hit that with his back, he wouldn't have gotten up.
So there was a brief moment when the Tour de France was on a knife's edge for him. And then on the last Alpine stages, he didn't look as strong as he has in the past. I think he also said he had a bit of a cold, which might cost him a percentage or two. And you could somehow see it. I think that he was also glad it was over.
Yes, I thought so too. This dominance, is something like that good for a sport in the long run?
It's good. It's not good. You can't really influence it, right? It's always been there. Eddie Merckx comes to mind immediately. Also Miguel Indurain. Also Lance Armstrong. Also Chris. So there have always been multiple winners at the Tour de France.
And now the multiple winner is called Tadej Pogacar. I think he's a great guy. He is approachable, he is good for our sport, and if he is the best, he can gladly win the Tour de France for the fifth time, as far as I'm concerned.
Is that perhaps what you mean by people like Armstrong or Froome, whom I found very, very strategic, very cold, very cool, who pushed through and implemented this sport at an absolutely high level? I think that he's different. And that's why I believe that despite this dominance, he is actually not harmful to the sport, because those images yesterday, because he is through, he has won the Tour de France, he just has to reach the finish. What does Pogacar do? He says, no, 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 friends. If there's a cycling party going on at Montmartre, I'm definitely in. And that, I think, makes him this likable dominator.
How do you see it? I can only agree. And that's why he is also the absolute top earner in our sport, because he is simply the best in all areas. Yes, and he also competes in Paris-Roubaix, where most classic riders don't even consider riding over the cobblestones, etc. So he is simply out of the box, as they say nowadays. And that's why he is definitely the one to beat in the coming years, although that won't be easy.
It won't be easy, but a lot can happen. So, Ralph, let's take a quick look at what will happen from the 23rd of August. That's when the third Grand Tour of the year, the Vuelta a España, takes place. Can you already tell us the names of those who will start for Red Bull Boa-Hansgrohe?
Not concrete yet, but it's not that difficult if you look through our team. Who could be considered? I definitely see Jay Hinkle. He had a bad crash in the Giro, recovered, prepared well, and is coming back. Maybe Pellizzari will be in the lineup again. Maybe Giovanni Aleotti. So we do have some good riders for the Vuelta, but not everything is finalized yet. Who should ride there? Because, well, there are still 4 weeks to go, and there are also races. Until then, for example, there is the Burgos Tour. On Saturday, there is the Classic San Sebastian, a very important race in the Basque country. And we will still look at the races before we make the final selection for the Vuelta.
Strategically, it then depends on the riders. My overall victory, if Jonas Vingegaard rides and gets serious, it can be difficult. If you go for stages, there is already a rougher plan.
No, because you have to finalize the lineup first. But yes, I also read yesterday that we are no longer doing the Vuelta. But he hasn't automatically won yet, and we'll have to see. But as I said, we just need the race results from the coming Saturday in San Sebastian, and then from the Volta Burgos and the Tour of Poland. And then we will make our final decision
for the Tour of Spain.
Exactly. So as always, the appeal is to follow Red Bull Hansgrohe on social media and their homepage. You won't miss anything. Yes, even earlier on Friday, we will see the Brookmühle Cycling Night, also one of your passion projects, Ralph. I've received some questions from the region. Who will be notable at the start in Brookmühle?
Yes, the Saales Cycling Night is on Friday in Brookmühle. My parental home is there in Brookmühle, and my father is very, very involved in the organization. It's a great event to bring cycling closer to the people in the region. And we already have a well-known starting field. Georg Zimmermann, the current German champion from Team Intermarché, will be racing. It will be Patrick Gamper from Team Jaikualula. It will be Kim Heidak from Team Ineos Grenadiers. And it will be Gregor Milberger from Team Movistar, alongside some continental professionals. So we certainly have a really great, good starting field, between 30 and 40 men. And it will certainly be a big race. But from us, from Red Bull Boa-Hansgrohe, Anton Palser will be racing, and also Sebastian Putz from the Red Bull Boa-Hansgrohe rookies. Yes, I'm already looking forward to when you can also have big events at home.
We'll see a cycling split. Is there a chance that someone like Florian Lippe will participate in something like this? That's a question that very, very many people have.
I cannot confirm that now, but we will let Florian do his work today and tomorrow recover a bit. Maybe we will have a surprise announcement during the week.
Ah, okay. We'll definitely keep an eye on that. Then briefly about this Brookmuhl cycling night. So it starts at 5 o'clock, but it's advisable for spectators to arrive quite early. And there's also plenty of supporting program offered.
Yes, there is also a supporting program, exactly. That's what we actually want with the Saale cycling night, that not only professionals ride there, but also children's races, youth races, junior races. So that many youth categories also have the opportunity to get a taste of cycling. And it's a cycling festival. I would say it's definitely one of the biggest in Bavaria, maybe even nationwide. And we would, of course, be happy if many people come to watch.
Absolutely. So make your way to Brookmuhl on Friday and check out the cycling night. Absolutely worth seeing. Off, and you don't often get to see cycling up close like this. Yes, Ralph, we have now reached the end after a long 3 weeks. A Tour de France that I think will stay in your memory for a very, very long time.
Yes, as I said, it was my first time on the podium in Paris, my 12th Tour de France overall, with everything involved, media hype and so on. It was definitely also one of the toughest for me. But I do it with passion and very gladly, and don't want to complain. I enjoyed it. Actually, I'm already looking forward to the Tour de Force next year.
Ralph, you are not alone in that. I feel the same way, and so do the listeners. And it's all the more remarkable that you're, despite this great media hype, as you described, you took the time every single day to talk with me, with my colleague Corbinian Sauter, about the Tour de Force, that you took our audience along on this extraordinary journey through France every year. That is anything but a given. In the name of all listeners, of course, also in my name and in the name of Corbinian, I would like to sincerely thank you. It is an absolute enrichment for the Tour de France. And yes, Ralph, this is our 6th year now. And when I see our listener numbers, we have become a small but fine voice of the Tour de France with a very great audience, with a fan base.
And we owe that all to you. Long story short, Ralph, many, many heartfelt thanks for the past 3 weeks.
I really enjoyed doing it. It was fun and it's become routine and is close to my heart to strengthen cycling in our region a bit by giving insights. And that's why I didn't have to struggle for that half hour a day. And we are also looking forward to next year, and all the best. And not only follow cycling during the tour, but throughout the whole year. That really helps us. Thank you.
You hear the appeal from Ralph Denk. I can only agree with it. And now send a good review and one last time in 2025. Best regards to France.
And best regards back to Rosenheim.
This was the current edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online about the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the pages of OVB Media and Ibn Media. Thanks for listening, and until the next episode.